1:32 this Thursday afternoon. Anna DeVlantis here, and the good doctor is back with us, Dr. Steve Salzman of Green Care Medical. Dr. Steve, how are you today?
All right, Anna, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. Today's a pretty good day. I want to ask you about the list that you sent over to me that finally described things so easily for just to clarify everything we've been hearing about this virus. It's from Johns Hopkins University, and I guess it's going around the medical world. I didn't see it anywhere else. You got it. You forwarded it to me. And I really felt like for the first time I sort of understood the way this gets into our bodies and the way it takes over.
Right, and I sort of put it into this format where we do it as COVID pointers, because once we explain this, I can sort of veer off and answer a lot of the similar questions we keep getting.
Okay.
So first of all, the virus is very fragile. The only thing that protects this virus is a thin outer layer of fat. That's why soap or detergent works. That foam cuts through that fat, which is why you rub it and wash your hands for 20 seconds. And you make a lot of that foam, and it breaks that down. And by dissolving that fat layer, the protein molecule disperses and then sort of breaks down on its own. And with that, what do we learn? One, the virus cannot go through healthy skin. And some of the other questions we keep getting, vinegar isn't useful because it doesn't break down that protective layer of fat from the virus.
And back up a second, Dr. Steve. You said soap. We get questions about this. Is it the lathering and the friction that's more important, or is it the contents of the soap? Do you need antibacterial?
Any antibacterial soap will do. It's the first thing that you said, Anna. It's the washing of your hands and the soaping up, forming that foam, and then rubbing our hands together to break down the stability of that small membrane of the virus and to clean our hands off. In general, though, because I know people in the station are asking about it, on the whole, hand sanitizers are potentially not as reliable as soap, but anything that has 60% of alcohol or greater will work. But again, the more resistant microbes, and that's not actually COVID, but there are other types of resistant microbes that can get onto our hands, and it's the soap and the scrubbing that removes them from the skin. So alcohol-based sanitizers work for COVID. They are a good backup. But again, if given the choice of either of them, you wash your hands for 20 seconds with a lot of foam with a good antibacterial soap.
So because it's covered in this fat that you talked about, it can absorb into our eyes, nose, and mouth. Is it the mucus? Is it that it attaches to?
Right. So the virus isn't a living organism. It's a protein molecule that's covered by this protective layer of lipid, of fat. And that gets absorbed into your nose, your eyes, your mouth. And what it does is, the genius of this, is that it then changes the genetic coding of the cells, and it converts them into aggressor and multiplier cells. And then you see what happens. Patients become deathly ill, they decompensate, they develop multi-organ system failure, and unfortunately many of them die. And that's how it's done. It's not necessarily alive like a bacteria, which is why antibiotics will not work. Antibiotics kill bacteria. Bacteria are living organisms. You can't kill what's not alive. That's why breaking down the structure of the virus with hand washing is our best defense to not get infected with it.
Heat is also on this list. Heat melts the fat. That's why it's good to use water above, they're using Celsius here, for washing your hands, clothes, and everything else. You want something as hot as you can stand.
Yeah, I think if put to the test, it's not the temperature of the water, it's the motion, it's the scrubbing motion and the foam, which is breaking down the structure of the virus so that it can't be embedded into the various orifices of our body and begin to replicate.
Okay, and then there's another point here. One part bleach, five parts water directly dissolves the protein, breaking it down from the inside. So that's a good thing you could do at home to sort of clean surfaces, I suppose, if they could withstand the bleach.
Right. Bleach is not, that's why soap is better. Bleach, not so good for the skin, but those Clorox bleach wipes of wiping down our counters is absolutely important and will kill the virus if it is on those surfaces.
Okay. He says here, never shake used or unused clothing, sheets, or cloth. So, like, if you're going to grab the towels to go, don't shake them out, because that could be bad.
Yep, you want to, everything, you don't necessarily need to do laundry incessantly. Well, actually, I'm addicted to doing laundry now that I say that, but that's because I find it relaxing. But every day, if, especially if you're not quarantined and you are one of these workers that have to, essentially have to be out, I think every day you need to take everything off before you get into the house, and all of those clothes need to be washed.
Okay. Did you find doing laundry relaxing?
Yes. Not so much the folding, but for some reason, I'm sickly addicted to laundry. Listen, better than being addicted to drugs, no?
Yes. Oh, that's true. You need some release. That's a good one. That's a good one to have. Thermometers. We keep hearing that thermometers are kind of hard to find, especially the good ones. Do you need a really good one? I know people are saying that they want to take their temperature and see if they have this fever, which is one of the early indications.
Right. So the CDC recommends that if you suspect you're exposed, to take your temperature twice a day in the AM and PM. Remember, Anna, a long time ago, we did the piece about what our temperature is. We thought it was 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, but actually, it might actually be closer to 97.9 degrees, somewhat lower. We talked about that. Who knew it was going to mean more now than ever? But basically, a temperature, by the way, would be considered 100.5. And people basically sometimes run cooler in the mornings, and temperature usually peaks between the hours of 4 and 9 p.m. But again, breaking down thermometers as a whole, you do not need expensive state-of-the-art thermometers. The under-the-tongue thermometers are fine as long as you know haven't eaten anything cold or hot, which can potentially alter the reading. But the scanning devices that they have, they're not necessarily, because they're more money better, there's a lot of them are vulnerable to user error, and sometimes they're being reported, sometimes being lower than what it is. And the numbers aren't necessarily that important. It doesn't matter whether your fever is 101.2 or 101.6. It's a fever. You know, the numbers don't necessarily, you know, mean anything, right? The person who graduates first in the medical school class, the one 700, they're both called doctor. See, numbers don't mean a lot in the end. So for ones to use the thermometers, digital thermometers are the most accurate and the quickest, and they can be taken temperatures orally, rectally, or axillary, although axillary temperatures sometimes are not as accurate.
What's axillary? That's on your head?
Underneath the armpit, the axillary temperature. The tympanic ones are the ones where you stick it into the ear and you push a button. That has its limitations. If patients have earwax or very young, less than 3 months, it can't be used. And then the temporal artery, the forehead ones that you sort of stream across the forehead.
Yeah, what about those?
So they're expensive, and they might not be as reliable, actually, as a digital thermometer. So a good $10 digital thermometer is probably all we need. And while we're talking about it, let's talk about what not to use.
Okay.
The plastic strips, smartphone temperature thermometer apps, the pacifier thermometers, they have thermometers like that, but it has to stay in a child's mouth long enough. And then mercury glass thermometers, mostly because the mercury in it is poisonous. Actually, I had it in my mouth when I was a teenager, and I turned my head to talk to someone. I broke it off in my mouth.
Oh.
I had a troubled childhood.
Ouch.
Troubled childhood. Yeah. So, you know, no mercury thermometers because they're poisonous. Seriously, the digital ones under the tongue for $10 is all you need.
Okay, we have several texters asking for clarification. You weren't saying that you need antibacterial soap. You were saying that it's more the friction and the 20 seconds and really lathering it. That's the issue.
Correct,
You don't need the antibacterial.
No, any soap will do. Any reasonable on-the-market soap will do.
Okay, and then finally, just can we try to bring us up to speed of where the guidance is on masks? I saw the L.A. mayor do a very awkward news conference yesterday about how he's recommending everybody wear one. He tried to put one on. He really couldn't. He kind of just demonstrated what you talk about, is that when people keep touching their face to fidget and move the mask around, then they're actually defeating the purpose because they're bringing new things to their face. Laredo, Texas today just made it the law. It's $1,000 fine if you don't wear one. It seems that they're at least gaining more favor. We saw our own Governor Pritzker say yesterday, you know, you can wear one if you want. It's not, you don't have to, but you can.
Let's start this whole discussion with, obviously, if you're not relaying first responders and people on the front lines and hospital staff and nursing home staff, those people out of the way. What does the mask actually do? The benefit is, one, it'll stop you from potentially spreading the virus if you are infected. It'll reduce the potential if you're an asymptomatic carrier to unknowingly infect somebody else. And again, it's hard. If you, this appears to be not aerosolized, but it's more respiratory, and the droplets get onto something and you touch it and then infect yourself with it. That's the most likely way patients are getting infected. So if you're 6 feet or plus away in and you spend a short time around an infected person, the chances of catching it is much lower. Touching it and infecting yourself, much, much higher, much higher. And so the masks, the CDC has never come against something like this kind of pandemic. That's the issue. So they're going to try things out of the box. They haven't recommended it, but again, asymptomatic carriers are unknown. And if it actually protects people against that, yeah, that's a possibility. Then masks would help. But we haven't tested enough people yet to even know who has it, who doesn't have it, what communities have a high burden and a lower burden. We don't know any of these things. And these are, you know, much more important. And I think the most important thing in terms of masks is wash your hands, because that's probably more important and will save you more than wearing a mask. But I don't know. The numbers might support wearing a mask, Anna. I don't know the answer to that. None of us know the answer to that, actually.
The data is just not there. All right. Well, we appreciate you being honest with what is known in the community, the medical community, Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve Salzman, joining us every day since this began, and we certainly appreciate you doing that, answering our questions, large and small. He's with Green Care Medical. He treats people with chronic illness and chronic pain. Thank you, Doc.
All right, guys. Talk to everyone tomorrow.